Welcome to another episode of Cannabis Health Radio. I'm Ian Jessup.
And I'm Corey Yelland.
It is estimated that as many as 74 million people worldwide suffer from a traumatic brain injury every year, more than any other traumatic insult. The highest occurrence is in North America and Europe, primarily from road traffic accidents. Mild traumatic brain injury may affect your brain cells temporarily. More serious traumatic brain injury can result in bruising, torn tissues, bleeding, and other physical damage to the brain. These injuries can result in long-term complications or death. Our guest today was involved in a traffic accident over 9 years ago that resulted in a traumatic brain injury that turned his life upside down. And joining us from Virginia is Jeremy Doerr and his wife, Chelsea. Thanks for both of you joining us. On September 15th of 2013, you were in a vehicle accident. Tell us what happened.
I was coming home from a big mud bog party thing that they used to have, and somehow got into the car wreck. I don't know much details about that. I don't remember. What I do remember, I've told, is not true, so it doesn't make sense, so I just let it go.
So you were in an accident, but you don't know exactly what happened because of your injury, correct?
Yeah, we hit some trees. I know that. I've got pictures of the car wreck and everything.
And you were taken to hospital, and I understand that you were in a coma for quite some time.
Yes, a 3-week medically induced coma in UVA.
Do you remember anything about being in a coma?
Nope.
Not a thing?
Nothing.
So you woke up, and 3 weeks later, you lost 3 weeks of your life.
Yeah. Pretty much I've lost three, but I'm pretty sure I remember what happened the night I wrecked, but I've been told it was not true, so it is what it is. I came to when I was in Georgia, in Atlanta, Georgia, after my trach was taken out. I could go to Shepherd Center in Atlanta, Georgia, and my daughter was brought to me by my aunt and my mom. And that's when I started remembering everything. Like, I came back to my senses, came back to myself.
So your memory started to develop, and you could start to remember what happened, basically.
Yeah. And I was scheduled to get out of Shepherd Center by the end of November. But after I saw my daughter, I improved so well, I was released the last day of October, or November 1st. Mm-hmm. I think November 1st I was released.
Jeremy, what did the doctors tell you about your condition?
I had a traumatic brain injury.
Did they say how it would impact you?
I'd lose everything. There's no cure for it. Mm-hmm.
How did it impact you?
I died twice. I died once at the scene, once in life flight back to UVA. And how it's impacted me, I lost everything in my life. Like, every aspect of everything I lost.
Can you give us some examples?
My daughter used to live with me. There was no issues with that. And we didn't have a court thing, but it was just she lived with me. I had a more stable environment and whatever. And she was basically taken from me by her mother, and just, it was horrible. And then both companies I worked for let me go for no reason. This is a right to work state. So they let me go. I lost my insurance. That was to get my pills, it was $1,500 a month.
Wow.
Or somebody I know named Debbie Wilson, I met in her brain injury group. Mm-hmm. She said, I can help you, but I can tell you what to do. You're not dumb. You're not, you know, you're beyond whatever for your brain injury. So I can help you. And so I said, all right, what's up? And she sent me the the information to where to find it. I have like 11 pages of research about traumatic brain injuries and cannabis. And every doctor I saw, I gave it to them, and they made copies of it. They never told me to stop, but I had to work myself back up.
Yeah, we've interviewed Debbie. She's a great person. Were you going to say something, Chelsea?
Yeah, I just kind of want to interject real quick. So he had his own place at that point, and he lost that place as well. So he moved into his grandmother's basement, which is kind of like a mother-in-law apartment. And I remember him telling me one day, he, like, after he lost everything, that this just wasn't it. Like, this is, he could either say that he wanted to commit suicide and end up in crisis or crisis.
Yeah, I'll say, all right, so my options when I lost my jobs and lost the insurance, I could say I would want to be suicidal and put myself in the, it's a place called Cry 6 at the hospital. Mm-hmm. Saying I was suicidal, but I was not suicidal. Like, I couldn't do that to my daughter because I knew that there was something amiss with people that were involved with her mom. And so I studied it. I know a lot of things about cannabis. My mom's husband, my dad, my stepdad, he's my dad. He has colon cancer. He cured his colon cancer with Rick Simpson oil recently. And then it came back in his lungs, and he's trying to figure out how to do that. But it's all because I found out how to heal my brain with it.
How did this injury affect your brain? Like, what were some of the things that happened to you as a direct result of this injury? How did it impact your brain? And can you give us some examples of things?
I don't know. I guess I get agitated really easily, and I overthink things a lot. But I get on edge sometimes, and I've never been suicidal though, so I couldn't go to the hospital and say that because it would follow me everywhere, including my daughter. I've been through some unmentionable things to protect my daughter, and some things have happened to her siblings that are unmentionable because of who I needed to protect my daughter from, and nobody would listen to me. I had the brain injury, so I was a dumbass.
He also, I wouldn't necessarily say it's quite paranoia, but I guess it could be in that realm. But he'll get into this mindset where something will trigger his mind to go into overthinking. And it's like he can't take his focus off that thought until he comes home and, like, he relaxes some cannabis. Some days are a little bit more of a struggle than others. Some days, you know, someone can say something that kind of gets his mind out of that area, but sometimes there's nothing you can say or do. He just has to work his way to figure that out on his own.
Does that happen often?
It happens quite a bit when he gets at work, where obviously, you know, you can't be smoking on the job and stuff like that. So his mind is like where 200 tabs are open and you're trying to close them, but then like 20 more will open at the same time.
Yeah.
So like he's popping and the music's playing in the background until he was able to get home and fully relax and be in a more calm environment. It just continues and continues and continues.
What were the changes you noticed in him after this accident?
So him and I actually, we've known each other since high school. And like I knew him obviously before the wreck, but I wasn't around when the wreck occurred. I came down 4 years later. But between the person that I knew before then and now, yes, he gets agitated a little bit more easily, but he walks away before he says something or before it gets too bad, which kind of sucks because, you know, women, we like to fight. But he knows he walks away before it gets too bad, which is kind of a blessing in the same breath. And he was a big partier before this wreck. I mean, he would throw very large parties, and when he lost everything, he literally rebuilt his whole life from the ground up. Like, he lost his job. He had issues that were going on with my, I call her my daughter, but my stepdaughter's mom. And he went and he fought for her. As soon as he was able to, as soon as he had a stable job, stable environment, he got her out of a not so good situation. And, you know, we got married. We have another little one on the way. He bought a house. A lot of things that people with brain injuries don't do because they don't exactly know the route to take to heal their brain correctly. And I was very against cannabis because of a bad experience with someone I had dated in the past. And we had to come to terms on whether or not that was going to be a deal breaker for us to move forward. I did not realize the healing aspects of it until he showed me all the paperwork. And don't get me wrong, like, I worked in the medical field, but there's still some medical terminology that is in those documents that I don't understand. But I've learned more over the years just from him, and I probably repeat the same questions over and over because it doesn't register in my brain the way it does his, because he's done all that research. He knows people like Miss Wilson and whatnot, so.
Jeremy, I want to ask you, when your accident occurred in 2013, and you came out of your coma and you were released from hospital, how much better are you today than you were, say, 8 years ago?
I would say you put me, like, if you had a slow down on a DVD remote or a DVD movie, if you could slow it down by like two or three tabs to go in slow motion, that's how my brain would do things before.
Okay.
And now I feel like it's faster. Like, I can process things faster. I try to control it better.
Mm-hmm. But you are improving, though, right?
Yes, it's a constant improvement.
Yeah.
Yeah. In the last 5 years since I've been, like, in the actual picture and down to him, he has vastly, like, just in those 5 years alone, like, he's improved a lot. We even tried at one point cutting out the cannabis and trying to go, you know, the medical.
I've cut out cannabis twice since my accident. Three times. Once, because I had to get a job. I had to get a good job. It was only twice. And once because I knew that drug testing was crazy at work and they had an obsession with me because I admitted on how I healed my brain. So they tested me. And so I went back the medical route. But I snapped at my wife in the middle of traffic one day on the highway going 70 miles an hour. And it was a bad situation because it was congested traffic. And that was the medicine. Like, I'm not dealing with that shit again. I'm not going to put my kid through that.
Not like snap, like hit me, like he just.
Oh yeah, like not snap. Snap. Like, raise my, like, I don't totally raise my different voice. Thing. I don't raise my voice. I don't, you know, I would never hit a female like that. It's just, I'm not raised like
that. It was verbal.
Yeah. And it was very shocking. It was not.
And my daughter was in the car too, and I was just like, that said, I can't do that.
Yeah, it was very shocking.
How old is your daughter?
14.
14.
I got custody of. She was six.
Okay. So she's seen changes in her dad that most kids would not see.
Yes, and she's been through things
that she should never
have been through on both sides.
Okay.
And mine was an accident, like the car wreck. But I'm very open with her on, like, she's 14, and she's very, very mature for her age for what she's been through. Mm-hmm. I know she's 14, and that means, you know, things are going to get popped up in the world. And so I'm open with her about how I healed. And when she was offered cannabis by some neighborhood boys, she came to me and started laughing. And she's like, I told them that, no, my dad probably gets better stuff than you.
Do you, when consuming cannabis, do you only smoke?
I'm trying different things. Like I've used vapes. I've got cartridges before, but I don't really know much about cooking with it or anything.
Jeremy, are you taking any CBD?
I do have these CBD pouches that they sell at a convenience store called Sheets. It's a reputable brand. I did a little bit of research before I got them.
I actually, even being pregnant, I take CBD, if not every day, every other day. And I plan to continue.
Are you taking CBD from hemp or CBD from cannabis?
It's a company called Anti, and I think from...
Yeah, no, I certainly there is really often a vast improvement with anything kind of going on in the brain if you can get the person on a decent, underlined, decent CBD. Now, Ian and I interviewed somebody, it's got to be a year and a half ago now, who had a lab that blind label tested all the CBD products in the States. And I got to tell you that 90% of them did not contain what they said they did. Okay. So it is extremely hard to find some decent CBD in the States, but CBD can be really helpful for brain, any kind of brain injury, stroke, that sort of thing. Hence my question there.
Yeah, buying CBD from a convenience store, really, yeah, I'd venture to say you're not getting what they say you're getting on the container.
Gotcha.
Yeah. CBD, I think, may be helpful to you. I mean, we're not in the business of giving medical advice, but...
I prefer flower. That's the way to get, after a long day, I work 12-hour shifts, go home, roll one up, step outside. Mm-hmm.
Do they drug test you at work?
Yes, but I went to HR before I got drug tested, let them know I had a card and why. It's legal medically in Virginia. I have a card. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a whole headache. But I went to HR myself before anybody could run and tell on me, because that's how people are. When they found out I got, that's how I healed my brain to begin with, I got drug tested like 6 times in 8 months.
Mm-hmm. Corey, in your experience in dealing with people over the last 10, 11 years and people who have brain injuries, is CBD the go-to medication for people to help them, or is it a combination of both?
Well, initially CBD for sure in my experience, right? So I'm talking, people with strokes, that sort of thing. I actually had a guy here in Victoria whose son was in an extremely bad accident. And he had a traumatic brain injury. And in his case, it made him incredibly violent. And he was actually restrained in hospital. It was just horrific. And tore at everybody's heartstrings, because this nice young man had a total change in personality. And we got him on CBD, and it was a game changer. Slowly but surely, the old Cody came back.
When they were pulling me out of a coma, they did have me strapped up in the bed. They had a playpen over top of me, all that type of stuff. I don't know what it's all about. But I understand that anything cannabis related, I feel, helps. Any type of use is medicinal in my
eyes. Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah.
Jeremy, what was the lowest point? What has been the lowest point for you in all of this?
The lowest point was not killing myself, because I was in my grandma's basement. And I couldn't do it in the neighborhood, because this is where the family grew up at. Mm. And I had a daughter that needed me. And then 3 years later, I bought a house. And then actually before I bought the house, I think it was about 2.5 years later, I got full custody of my daughter. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I saved her from the unspeakable. And I've been, people have came at me in situations, it's lax now, but I don't know if they had something to do with the drug testing at work or whatever, but it is what it is.
Do you think if you didn't have a daughter, you may have taken your own life?
I don't know. I can't say that.
Yeah.
Because I was in my grandma's basement and I couldn't do that. Like, there, I had too much respect for her than to do that there. But when I look back at it, like, my daughter saved me, so I had to save her. So that's how I look at it.
Yeah, that's a good way of looking at it. Yeah. Now, with your traumatic brain injury, if you bump your head at all, do you feel that you get a headache?
I don't know. Like, I've hit my head really hard at the first job I had after my wreck. I stood up underneath some steps and smashed my head on the concrete step above it.
Jesus.
That knocked me lightheaded. Like, I really did a number, and I was maintenance, so I went into a empty room and just watched TV for about 45 minutes, just relaxing in the cool air. It knocked me pretty good. Like, I could see stars when it first happened, but I don't think I had a lasting headache from it. I don't really get headaches a lot.
Oh, you don't?
No, I don't. And I have to attribute that to, like, 6 months after my wreck, I lost my insurance. Well, 6 to 8 months after my wreck, I lost my insurance. And in the meantime, between then, when I came home, I had friends, and that's what they did. And they would come pick me up, and we'd go ride out, and I would do that. And this is before we knew the medicinal value of it. My mom would get pissed at me at first because she was the caregiver for the first year. I was just like, I'm not worried about it. And then, like, a year later, found out that was my saving point, like, how the way I did it and everything.
Well, I think, you know, when you're dealing with Debbie Wilson, who has this Facebook page on traumatic brain injury, and we interviewed Debbie, what, about 4 or 5 years ago, Corey? Maybe even longer than that. And she has made remarkable progress in her health improvement. And I think you can make remarkable progress. I think you have made remarkable progress. And I think what you should do is listen to the podcast we had on, and I'll send Chelsea the link of the fellow in, I think it was California or Colorado, Corey, who did the assessment of CBD.
I can't remember where he was located.
Yeah, and it was lab tested, and it was eye opening for us to realize that a lot of the CBD that is sold, I guess everywhere, just doesn't have what is contained on the container, and I think that would help you a great deal.
See, Virginia is so backwards with it. Like, with cannabis, like...
Well, welcome to the world, my friend. It's like that everywhere. It's legal here in Canada, and oh my God.
It's
a gong show, yeah.
I'm not allowed in Canada, but my wife, she's from New York.
So I'm from New York, pretty much along the Canadian border, or the Quebec, depending on what side you go through. My dad's a resident alien, so I mean, we obviously spent a lot of time back and forth in Canada growing up, and I can get across the border just fine, but we tried to go visit my family, 4 years ago now, and they pulled us in, and they tore my car apart, and they pulled him in for questioning separately, and they pulled me in separately, and then they almost tried to pull in Maddie separately, so she was 9, 10 at this point. And Jeremy's like, absolutely not. I think they thought we were trying to, like, steal her and, like, go into Canada. But come to find out, he had a charge from many, 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 many years ago of brandishing a firearm. And apparently they told us it was a felony over in Canada. And all we wanted to do was show Maddie what the milk looks like over there in the bags.
Oh.
That was it. Like, it wasn't even anything fancy. And, like, we were going to go probably eat when we got over there into the mall. But the main part of that trip was supposed to show Maddie what milk looks like in Canada.
Yeah, it's a gong show here. It seems to be a gong show everywhere. And I think it's just a process, an ongoing process that the medical community appears to be in the back pocket of the pharmaceutical industry. And that's not to say pharmaceuticals are all bad. It's just that it eats into their profits. I think one of the things you've got going for you in looking at your at the two of you in your video is that you've got a wife who loves you and a dog who loves you. I mean,
yeah, she's our fur baby.
Yeah, I can see the dog just hovering around you, and I think that's great. It's fantastic. Tell me, where would you like to be 5 years from now?
I would like my house to be paid off.
Yes. You'd like to win the lottery?
Yeah, but I got to play the lottery to win it. Realistically, I want to be helping people. I want to be involved with a company that wants to help people with brain injuries, showing people the light. Like, I know how it feels to want to end your life and praying that you don't wake up, but also praying for the light if you need it. And so I prayed, like, help me figure it out. And then the conversations with Debbie just ran with it. And like I said, 11 pages of research, many doctors have seen it and made copies of it mm-hmm. with me. I never lie about it.
Yeah. Well, we wish you well. We wish you both well. And your new baby when are you due, Chelsea?
Supposed to be January 17th. I have a C-section scheduled on January 13th, but we're kind of hoping she comes before the end of the year.
Oh, it's a little girl, isn't it?
I'm not comfortable anymore, so.
Okay. Thanks for doing this, guys. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
As soon as I saw the thing for, I think it was Charlotte King, the girl with the brain tumor, I was like, Jeremy, we have to reach out to him. At least it would be a start, because I know he wants to get a story out there and help others that have experienced what he has. And I was like, this could be just a great start, and then work our way up. Just like you would, like, if you were working for a company, you start from the bottom, typically, and you work your way up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Good luck to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to today's show. To check out more great cannabis podcasts, go to podconnects.com. Here's a preview of one of our other shows.
Hi, it's Justin Benton, host of the Miracle Plant Podcast, where we discuss this miracle plant that goes by so many names and how it's helping people in so many extraordinary ways. So if you love this plant and you want to hear a story that tugs on those heartstrings and learn more about this plant, then head on over to the Miracle Plant Podcast. You'll be glad you did.